This is session number 265, recorded on April 12th. Copyright 2010, New Grand View Incorporated, all rights reserved. And we're starting at 6:37 p.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Ion.
Howdy.
Howdy, howdy. I'm going to start the party off tonight with a little medicine with Ion, if that's to your fancy.
We're fancy, yeah.
Okay, I'll just continue going on alphabetical. What got me going back on this is some neat translations you gave in one of the private readings to some conditions. So, yeah, that was fun. But alphabetically, the next one is phlebitis.
Yes, phlebitis. That's with all your issues with your blood clotting in your legs and all the edema that comes from that dynamic. Is that the dynamic of phlebitis you'd like to go into?
Yes, so as we had done before, Bob, do you want to mute, please?
Yeah.
It's the the Ionic take on why people get this condition and what we can do about it.
Okay, it's a two split. It's a twofold thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes those that are stricken with the varicose veins in the legs,
mm-hmm.
which is actually okay, no problem, unless they're painful, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But with the phlebitis, typically, it's the narrowing mm-hmm. or the pressurizing of not the arteries but the veins coming
mm-hmm.
back, and it becomes that it allows the dropsy, is what the old timers used to call it.
Mm-hmm.
It allows you to hold more edema
mm-hmm.
because of not the with the decreased degree of circulation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Your hot water hose is kinking,
mm-hmm.
so you have a diminished amount of flow. Well, that diminished amount of flow then becomes the harbinger of less circulation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like so you'd say, have a little salt that, you know, to help that out. But then if you do that, then you're going to have a hypertension when it's already kind of pressurized, so you have even more edema with the increased salt. That's where your magnesium comes in
mm-hmm.
perfectly
mm-hmm.
to help even bring that to a place of balance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a new plug that you don't even pander.
Mm-hmm.
But it is. And the only thing that will solve that is port hose
mm-hmm.
and magnesium.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Now, is that enough of phlebitis? Do you understand that sometimes that the necrosis that comes when that gets advanced
mm-hmm.
is nothing other than the breakdown of that tissue, like on the bone?
Yeah.
A lot of times with sugar diabetes, they call them the ulcers or ulcerations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's mm-hmm. the end time of that phlebotomy.
Mm-hmm.
We're being mm-hmm. so
I know you are,
but the phlebitis mm-hmm. issue with necrosis,
yeah,
you've got to be very, very specific, because the magnesium that you're adding, that's why we said about the zinc also, is it helps to dry, so you don't have to have all the debriding.
Mm-hmm.
If you have that, the only thing you can do is debride it.
Yeah.
You know, right, rake out the rotten mm-hmm. stuff. But now, obviously, if you've got a touch of phlebitis, you can get ahead of it
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
before you get there. But you're going to have all degrees, and it's got to work for all degrees. So you have to be very careful for the necrosis
mm-hmm.
and the what you call ulcers or ulcerations.
Right. Now, I know you kind of went into it by talking about the pressurizing, but I just need a little couple of sentences on the reason that people give themselves phlebitis.
Oh, that's okay. There's always that totally biological
right.
Okay. Well, that flows, that flows from a cutting off the return.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're cutting off the return.
Mm-hmm.
You've created it, you've manifested it, it is, but you cut it off when it's on its way back to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Same thing would be true when you start trying to manifest in someone else's reality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You cut it off before it gets back to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's the easiest way, because the flow is good. And then we're talking about going at it. You know, they go right to warfarin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's how they work with that. Well, that's exactly the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
You actually should beef up your protein.
Mm-hmm.
And your spinaches and your mustard greens and your leeks and your the stuff they say never, 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 never eat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's exactly what you need to bring into your diet back to a balance so that you don't have to work on or work against the imbalance. You're soothing the imbalance by eliminating the optimum balance. That made no sense whatsoever.
I know.
Let's try it one more time.
Yeah.
They would limit you and get you on the blood thinners
mm-hmm.
to ease the symptoms of phlebitis.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what we're saying is just the opposite. You should actually increase protein
mm-hmm.
in the body, which would actually create more red blood cells.
Mm-hmm. And would stop up the fluid, too.
Exactly, but they go, it's just the opposite. But now, don't mind us, we're the same ones that would say eat chicken livers if you got the gout. So,
right.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the uric acid make more, and then that'll take care of it. Now, we didn't say that was the least painful, but you liked it anyway. That's a different section. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they are connected when you're talking about phlebitis.
Okay, good. And you know, I know when I line these up and start sorting out the words that I'll be coming back and just tidying these things up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we kind of wax away in a bit.
Mm-hmm. Premenstrual.
Just like you.
Yeah, exactly.
Humans.
Yes. Premenstrual syndrome.
PMS.
Mm-hmm.
That's premium mortuary supplies, isn't it?
No, that's about if you piss someone off who's got PMS, you're in, yeah.
You're certainly categorizing it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When you go into the natural, normal female cycle
mm-hmm.
of ovulation, sometimes those imbalances in the beginning or starting of that menstrual flow or the flux, mm-hmm. I guess is what the appropriate way
mm-hmm.
to explain that. It's the exchange of allowing the eggs to come into a place of fertilization.
Mm-hmm.
Basically the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they call it a cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, pre-cycle, what happens is the female, well, men do it too, by the way,
mm-hmm.
but the female version of that is another cycle has come or is coming and I'm not with child.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's a reminder of what they call the curse of Eve,
mm-hmm.
but she screwed around with God or something or...
Mm-hmm.
Something, there's all kinds of little issues that come along with that of pain in childbirth and
mm-hmm.
killing
mm-hmm.
of the land and you know,
mm-hmm.
sure, cunnilingus goes in there somewhere, but we don't know where. You'd have to check with the Old Testament writers to figure that one out. But
so
anyhow,
another cycle is coming, and I'm not with child. Well,
yep.
But then you say all the pain of childbirth. Well, wouldn't you be happy if you're not with child? Because then you're not going to have the pain.
Doesn't matter. They forget the pain once they birth the baby.
Right.
That
okay.
becomes part of the process.
Sure.
But not everyone has horrible childbirths.
Sure.
You see.
So
but
it's
now,
just
this process,
mm-hmm.
the process of the uterus
mm-hmm.
not having a fertilized egg that is attached
mm-hmm.
and stayed.
Mm-hmm.
When that flow, because your body knows when it's pregnant, so you no longer cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately, the hormone release that
mm-hmm.
is so specific
mm-hmm.
that it ceases the menstrual cycle, is the same premenstrual syndrome that the body gives off naturally when it is not with a fertilized egg attached to a uterus. The lining up of the cervix, that lining, that linear lining up, allows that flow, the same hormone that will stop a cycle, spot on, no pardon the pun, that allows that to stop it is the same one that aggravates, that makes you crave chocolate and makes some women mean that are just naturally mean, that they're extra mean. That same hormone release, it's almost like the balancing up of a testosterone level. And you're like, what? Ion, you're off the wagon again. What are you talking about? The estrogen and that balance is what is elevated, that makes you kind of easily irritated. Then that starts with the bloating and the cramping, but some of that's more during the cycle, you see. But the PMS is that want to hit a wall kind of thing, because you have a little bit of an increased testosterone. Basically, it's that little bit, it lasts typically about 3 days before, and that's when these weird cravings come, the temperament is challenged. That's all.
Okay.
Good. That's enough?
Yeah, that'll do her for now. Perfect. Perfect words. Okay, I have prostate problems. I mean, there's different types. I guess we could just go ahead and say prostatitis.
Well, now if you're going to go to prostatitis with the inflammation, that's the least of it. You're talking about an enlarged or an enlarging prostate that they would gauge.
There's benign prostatic hypertrophy, right?
Well, or the PSA level that they gauge to see how you're doing, so it's not.
And now that's been disproven as being. But yeah, prostatitis, benign prostatic hypertrophy, and prostate cancer, those are the three possibilities, right?
And some degrees thereof.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the PSA was missing, and that's what we were about to explain. So, long story short, the muscle, the meat, the prostate, okay, it's reached through the rectum. And the point is when that is increased largeness and size, how you notice is you have a decreased flow of urine because you're trying to empty your bladder and it goes through prostate. So when the urethra is pinched off, you gotta go. Well, then you go and then you can't go. And the some people, some men folks in their younger age, they wake up with these superfluous erections because they're holding back urine because they got to go, but they're asleep. Well, that very continuum is the thing that tells the prostate to enlarge. Men folks get it all crossways. They want to have a large phallus, a large penis, large. They don't know what to do with it, but anyway, they want a large one. Great. Congratulations, you win. Now what? Well, that also is a barrier of largeness of that control. Also, and no one ever talks about it, but it also has a control of slowing down orgasm for making intercourse or coitus last longer. Sometimes that becomes to a part of it as well. The buildup of that pressure then is the same thing that as you mature, many times you find that as your decrease of drive sort of wanes a bit, the pressure is still there, so it ends up manifesting in the prostate itself. nobody said that before.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest story is, guess what else it is? It's a little bit of estrogen.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Mm-hmm. And then that, and how they test it is with, of course, that superfluous finger out where they go into the rectum to check it. Now, a cheeky one for JW that he'll just really enjoy getting shared. He says that his doctor is very, very wonderful and very, very significant as just a general medicine doctor, whatever, for the little test that they do. He laughs that his finger, it goes to the middle of his elbow. That's how JW describes the length of his finger to check.
Well, my patients liked my rectal exams because I couldn't go very far.
There you go. Well, he was very thorough in his examination, of course.
Okay.
Of course, because he would say, yes, and your appendix is also just fine. So there you go.
Yeah, so when back there some younger men wake up with an erection, they want a large penis, but along with that goes a large prostate, and then you say a barrier of the largeness of that control. So some of that
the barrier as it enlarges.
Oh, yeah.
As it enlarges, and then you have maybe, let's just say it this way. When you're 20 years old, all you think about is an orgasm.
Right.
Okay, when you're 50 years old, all you're interested in is the coming to the orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
You understand it's not the getting done, it's the enjoying the process.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when that happens, or if your drive diminishes at all, then your prostate doesn't know that it's slowing down.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, it continues right along.
And does what?
Enlarges. But the whole point, the only reason that the prostate even shows up is when the largeness, the pressurization of the prostate, that's when the inflammation comes. That's when they get you on all these prophylactic antibiotic businesses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's when it turns into cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And never any other way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Good. The inflammation is what allows the cells of the cancer to have room to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you could just give them a little shot of estrogen to help that balance, it would take care of itself. Bam.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they do it with the rice, irradiated rice in the prostate itself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's no different than what a bit of estrogen would do.
Mm-hmm.
Might make your areoles sore, but past that, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Bob, that means your nipples are tender.
Okay, let's do psoriasis, and then I don't know how many minutes I've been going, but...
Psoriasis, which kind? There's lots. Psoriasis, just regular dermis?
Just regular dermis, not so much getting into the arthritis one.
Okay, well, you knew that's where we were going, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just regular psoriasis is the dermis responding from an interior position from an exterior motivation. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You can get too much sun, which we'd say, how do you get too much sun? But you can burn the skin from the inside, then that can lead to a psoriasis. Those that are prone to the eczema and all those other different types of psoriasis, then when they get out in the sun, it seems to be more aggravated. Well, more ugly than aggravated. Because, you see, that whole psoriasis degree is nothing other than a temporal inflammation of the lower level dermis. And that can be caused from environmental issues. It can be inside out. It can be outside in. It can be people. Mm-hmm. Some people would prefer to have psoriasis than liver spots.
Hmm. Yuck.
Well.
Mm-hmm.
Psoriasis is young folks. Mm-hmm. Liver spots means I'm getting old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. Gets kind of a
we sure have made that light and easy, but folks that are suffering from that, we absolutely understand.
Mm-hmm.
If you could get a balance with your nutrition,
mm-hmm.
you'll find that that eases off so
mm-hmm.
easily.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not making a do of it, but if somebody's really riddled with that,
mm-hmm.
you know, they would actually much rather have a terrible, nasty cancer than deal with that because
mm-hmm.
it's very painful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's we empathize.
So then the nutrition that you would suggest, just give me a few words there. Bob looks like he's ready to take over.
No, you can
go. We can't
because you know what we're going to say and you don't
all
want
right,
that.
All right, so, 2 weeks, right.
But balance. We're talking about balance. If you're not eating meat, eat meat. If you're
right.
only eating meat, eat something with it.
Yeah, right.
If you take no grams of any sugar in your body, add some.
Mm-hmm.
If you are completely
mm-hmm.
fat-free in your diet, add some grease.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Nice.
Hog tallow.
Yeah.
I mean the greasy kind.
Mm-hmm.
Balance. Now, and when we say balance, we mean have a variety.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with it as long as you can, every time you push against something, regardless of whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
that's why we have no trouble with any of these even illegal substances. If you were no pushing against having cannabis and you only had a milligram, who would care?
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't matter. See, it wouldn't be an issue. But you're right. What ends up happening is they go to a pound a week and they're so stoned all the time, they don't know what they're eating.
Mm-hmm.
So it's balance. It's all about alcohol. If you need a thimble full of alcohol, have it. Enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
But not a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if there's nothing in your world that says you can't enjoy anything, then nothing becomes the precedent for what you use to bring yourself into a false sense of bliss. Now that's sugar,
cool.
That's methamphetamines, that's pick something.
Mm-hmm.
Makes no difference.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, the pay is the same.
A false sense of bliss. Now, that kind of sounds like a good thing.
Well, it is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if it replaces you to a point where you get so strung out on methamphetamines that
mm-hmm.
your nose falls off because you've rotted it off,
mm-hmm.
that's not so blissful, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But then after a while, that's the only thing giving you any pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we're saying that you got to balance that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
With all things, but mainly that same process of whatever it is you're doing,
mm-hmm.
adjust it.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you enjoy most, then add something with it.
Mm-hmm.
You see, if you eat as much salad as you do a piece of meat,
mm-hmm.
and you have a 24-ounce porterhouse steak,
mm-hmm.
and you find out how much 24 ounces worth of lettuce is,
mm-hmm.
and you have to eat all of both,
mm-hmm.
you'll probably stop long before you finish either.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Yeah.
And that's with the radishes
mm-hmm.
that people buy and then don't eat.
Ah-ha-ha. Perfect. Okay, I'm actually...
No, keep going, girl. Keep
no,
going.
I'm so starving. I have to go and...
Well, do a little bit more.
Well, we helped a whole lot with that, didn't we?
You did.
So I finish this. Just
what was the next one on your list?
There's gum disease, but then there's Raynaud's syndrome, and then there's rectal itch, there's shingles, sinus infections, all that stuff. But you had an interesting dynamic in TMJ, so let me skip to that and ask
yes,
you about that.
Certainly.
I'll at least keep my interest. Temporomandibular
yes.
joint syndrome.
Yes.
What is the dynamic that is creating that?
Oh, where you're basically the infection that gets in that bone that hooks to your jaw that makes it weak. With the muscles, the way it comes in from your wisdom teeth through pulling through to your canines, it actually has a place where it pops out of joint.
Hmm.
That's the short version. it pops.
I didn't realize it was an infection.
It is. Hmm. It certainly is. Because there's no other way that muscle would relax without a bit of inflammation. You have TMJ, the first thing they're going to do is they're going to put you on some doxy. Right out of the chute. Because there's a bit. Now, it's not killing you infection, but it's a bit inflamed. Well, when it gets inflamed, what does it do? It doesn't tense up. It relaxes. It's heated. It's got a little heat in it. Well, then it relaxes. And when it relaxes, then your jawbone pops out.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can pop it back in, okay, good. But then you get the headaches and the sinus pressure and sinusitis, and then it gets into your neck, and then you're withering. It can affect your escutcheon tubes and all how that pressure flows in your ears.
Crustacean.
There we go.
You read a misspelling on your files there.
Well, we'll give you so many of them, you're bound to like some of them.
Yeah, right.
So that area where it all kind of pins in together is a flow. Now, from your jaw, okay, which is super strong. Super, dude. I mean, you can crack walnuts with your teeth. That's that strong. There's enough foot pounds in your jaw to literally rip flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you do when you eat. You break it down, first level of digestion. Now, with this particular place, many times, what happens is over a bit of spans, you get a bit of a disalignment with the way the teeth break down food.
Mm-hmm.
And that becomes the beginning places. Most everyone who has TMJ, okay, what you'll find is that there's a bit of forward within, if you look from the canine back to the L17, the back molars, they're pushing against each other. So as you little fellas rarely have TMJ, it's more only those in the 30s that are really going into the eating business. That you've had time to have this factual disalignment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And sometimes they'll send you to the ear, nose, and throat doctor way before you get to that place because you keep noticing that things are off.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And so you go there and they go, oh, well, you have this in your sinus and blah, 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 blah. Well,
so
that's
they-
not.
Yeah, so this disalignment of the way the teeth break down food, well, is that after it pops out of the joint?
No, way before,
years
before.
Okay.
You don't wake up and say, and you're perfectly fine and wonderful, and then the next day you pop it out and can't close your mouth and you have TMJ.
Got it, okay.
Doesn't work that way.
And you're saying that disalignment, that's coming from
it's
the...
gradual.
The back teeth, the...
From the canine back to the back top molars. Always on the top, never on the bottom.
Mm.
It's always on the top. It's pushing slowly, pushing the jaw out.
Why is he doing
that? Because it's pushing down, and it's down and out.
Mm.
Down and out.
But why the movement? What's creating that in the first place?
The not good alignment of the teeth and in the chewing.
Mm-hmm. But what's causing the misalignment?
Oh, sometimes people have teeth that are pulled. They'll lose teeth.
Right.
Sometimes they'll do crowns that don't support it. So now they find themselves eating on one side or the other, or they go into mechanical soft diets where they don't have to chew things.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they'll have bridges and or partials,
mm-hmm.
so they don't have the same, they do, but they don't have the same force
for
pushing, Or let's say they have their teeth and they're a bit out of alignment.
Uh-huh.
Some people, many people find themselves with TMJ if they have the compulsion to grind their teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And that grinding is a way to stretch that, to push it against or back and forth, left and right.
Mm-hmm.
As you're grinding, well, that grinding also then makes that muscle get stronger. Well, strong muscles have a very large degree of elasticity. Flabby muscles don't give you a pull 'em. Strong muscles, you can stretch and stretch. That's why you do your yogi business, so you can get all limber. Well, girlfriend, you get limber enough and you can pull it right out of the socket. You know firsthand about that.
Just with shoulders.
Yeah, knees.
And knees. Okay, that is beautiful, excellent, good. You know, I'll do more of that before Bob's readings, and now I'm
and
going to go
you
in.
You didn't ask how to straighten it out.
Oh, right. You stick little bits of tissue in behind there.
Cotton.
Yeah.
Cotton. And because what you're doing is you're creating it's imitation, but it's balance.
Mm-hmm.
You know the little, like the things, the galls that are rounded
Cotton.
Are covered
mm-hmm.
with...
Mm-hmm.
Perlex or whatever,
uh-huh.
you just sort of pack it like chipmunks.
Uh-huh.
And what you're doing there is you're providing a barrier balancer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So your mouth and body gives itself a break because it's chewing on that gauze business.
Mm-hmm.
So it naturally pulls itself back from the lower jaw up back into place.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're keeping the pressure off of it until, now we said not all day, every day, mostly at night, we'll do that. And then what happens is that relaxes. Then what happens is that muscle has an ability to, rather than be distended, and it's actually not the joint or disjointed or double jointed, how it hooks in your, what is it, malifacial. Surgeons, they understand how to pull that up. But the point of how that attaches, if you can remove the pressure, that muscle will naturally correspond to any alignment that keeps those muscles tight so that your jaw doesn't fall off the hook.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Okay, Bob. Bob is ready for you. I can tell in his demeanor.